This is the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast, where you learn the best tips and strategies in the world to help you become a smarter, more effective tennis player. You'll hear interviews with Pro Tour doubles players and coaches, including easy-to-use lessons to improve your game and win more matches. My name is Will Bocek, founder of the Tennis Tribe, doubles strategy coach, and host of the show. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode. This is going to be a shorter episode. I'm answering a reader's question. So Matt emailed me a few weeks ago, and I wrote this down because I thought this would be a good podcast episode. He said, I was curious what type of analysis you do pre-match, and if you have the opportunity to watch your doubles opponents, what do you key in on? So he's essentially asking, or the way I read this is, you know, if I'm at a tournament and I'm already through to the next round, or if I have a bye in the first round and my opponents are playing and I get a chance to watch them, what am I looking for? And of course, this is going to vary based on if I've played them before and so on. But I'm going to break down how I think about that question and give you some tips on what you can do to kind of scout an opponent before you play them. Whether you're playing them or someone else is, how you can kind of start to develop a scouting report. But before I dive into all of that, I wanted to announce a new thing that I'm going to be doing later this month. So I'm going to start doing webinars. And the first one that I'm going to be doing is with Craig O'Shaughnessy. Now, Craig has been on the podcast before. We'll link to it in the show notes. If it goes well, I'm going to continue to do these, on my own on different doubles topics. But this first one is with Craig. It's going to be on Thursday, July 28th. And you can go to thetennistribe.com/webinars to learn more. And we'll link to that in the show notes as well. And what we're going to do is Craig is going to share all of his best strategies and tactics that he teaches to doubles players. Now, if you don't know Craig, he worked with Novak Djokovic from 2017 to 2019. He is the strategy analyst for the ATP Tour, for the Italian Federation. He's been the strategy analyst for Wimbledon and the Australian Open as well. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that Craig probably has the best tennis presentations in the world. He is flown to Italy by the Italian Federation during the Italian Open every year to present at their conference. He was in Brazil just a few weeks ago presenting in their national tennis organization, flew him down there to present. He's been to Hong Kong, to Israel, to Australia, all over the world. He goes and speaks, and we're starting to do, I've helped him kind of set up these webinars so that he can get it out to more people. So typically, you're paying $400 or $500 to attend one of these conferences and to see him speak, and this is a fraction of that cost. So he's actually got a singles one next week, which I'll link to, and then a doubles one that I'll be doing with him in a couple of weeks. So I hope you can sign up. If you have any questions on it, let me know. And there is a 100% money-back guarantee with it as well. So if for some reason you feel like it wasn't for you, let me know. I'll give you a full refund. But I promise you the stuff that Craig has in these presentations and the information that I'm going to deliver as well is going to be really, really valuable for you. So enough of that. Let's dive into the episode. So what can we do when we're going to be scouting an opponent? So if you're on site and you get to watch your opponent and you're going to play him in the next round, the first thing I'm thinking about is, where should you actually scout them from? So this is something you probably haven't really thought about before. You may go sit on the bench or in the bleachers on the side of the court. But the ideal place to scout from is actually behind the court. So there's a reason that, you know, on TV, we watch tennis from behind the baseline. And it's just a much better place to see kind of the angles of the court. And this is especially true in doubles. So if you can get behind the court, that's ideal. Sometimes there's a kind of a windscreen where you can't really see or whatever. But if you can, if you can't do that, try to stand at or a little bit behind the baseline on the side so that you can kind of get a little bit of that angle from the back of the court. So definitely the worst place to be watching and to be trying to scout is from right at the net post. And it's also the worst place to buy a ticket if you ever go to a pro tournament, because your head is just going back and forth, and it's, you can't really see much other than the depth with which they're hitting and the pace. But you can't really see the angles, which are so important in doubles. So if you can get closer to behind the court, that's ideal. If you want to get really intense, you can chart the match with a pen and paper. So when I'm doing scouting for a WTA doubles team, for example, we get match footage and have tennis analytics. I had Warren Pretorius on last week. We get their company to chart the match for us. Now, you're probably not going to do that because it costs money and takes a lot of time, but you can do some basic charting. You can get a pen and paper, and you can make a note of how many forehand returns the opponent or each player misses, how many backhand returns they miss versus the total amount that they hit to find an error rate. You can figure out, you can chart serves, you know, are they serving wide or down the tee? You can make a note of that on the deuce and the ad court, things like that. So if you have questions about how to chart, reach out to me. I can give you a little bit more advice, but that's a little bit extreme if you wanted to go down that path. But if not, if you're like me and don't get paid to play tennis and don't really want to pull out a pen and paper and chart every time, then what should you do? So the first thing I like to look at with an opponent is returns. The serve is the only shot that we can control. So I really want to know, where should I be serving to each of these players? So what you want to be looking for is their forehand versus their backhand return. You know, which one looks more solid, which one looks more comfortable. And this doesn't always mean the one that they hit with more pace is the better return. So in a lot of cases, their forehand return will have a lot more pace and they might hit a few big winners, but it might yield a lot more errors as well. And it might be overall the weaker return. Maybe you give up some of those winners to win a higher percentage of points because you know they're going to commit more errors on that forehand side. So it depends, though. For every player, it's different. But look and see which one is better for them. See which one they're more comfortable with. Look at their contact point. So are they stepping inside the baseline or are they hitting from at or behind the baseline? That can help determine your serve strategy. For a lot of players who like to step forward and inside the baseline, I try to focus on depth on my serve so that it's a little bit more difficult for them to pick up on, and it kind of jumps up on them a little bit more quickly. Look at the direction that they're hitting their returns. So if they're hitting their forehand return cross court every time and high over the net, you know, you want to be looking at the height, then you'll know, okay, let's serve wide to their forehand and then call a poach because it's a pretty easy high ball over the net that you'll be able to put away. So are they able to hit their forehand and backhand both cross court and down the line and then consider the height and then see if they like to lob. If they lob a lot of returns, then you need to work with your partner and create a game plan for that. You know, when they lob you down the line in the deuce court, I'll be able to cover that. Or can you shuffle back and be ready for an overhead? Or should we, worst case scenario, play two back on my serve if they have a really good lob? So look for that on the return and work with your partner to create a game plan for both the deuce court player as well as the ad court player. Next, we want to look at serves. So what serves do they like? A lot of players might have a preference on, for example, in the deuce court, maybe they love to hit their wide serve. So from the beginning of the match, you might start out with 1 foot well inside the doubles alley to take away that wide serve. Now, keep in mind, as I'm talking through this and you know, next time you're out there scouting an opponent, we're looking for places to start. We're not setting these game plans and sticking to them at all costs. I've got an older podcast that we'll link to in the show notes called How to Create a Game Plan and Make In-Match Adjustments. So you want to be making adjustments if some of these things don't work. Oftentimes, I will see something when I'm watching a player play, and then when I get out on the court for whatever reason, it wasn't what I thought because, you know, I'm getting more information when I'm on the court than when I'm watching them from off the court. So keep that in mind. But what types of serves do they like? How can we take some of those away? How can we be ready and create kind of a game plan if they have a good kick serve, for example? If you're a player who doesn't like kick serves and you notice that, maybe you tell your partner, hey, you handle the kick serve better, so maybe you should play the ad side or whatever it may be. Are they running formations? So if they are, if they're running a lot of I formation or Australian formation, work with your partner, create a game plan for that. How are we going to get them kind of out of their rhythm in terms of their serving? And then the next thing to look at is rallies. So this is essentially the same process that I do use when I'm creating a scouting report. With the rallies, I like to look at the positions each player likes to be in. So do they serve in volley and really generally like to be at the net? If they do, how hard do they close the net? Can I lob them? Should I lob them on the first ball or should I go right at them and then hit a lob on the next ball? Some players close immediately. Some players hit the first volley and then close really hard. So keep that in mind. Is one player more comfortable at the net than the other, or are they both more comfortable at the baseline? Regardless, you want to figure out where they like to be on the court and then talk with your partner and think, okay, this player likes to rally from the deuce court while this other player likes to be at the net in the ad court. How can we get them out of that situation? It may be a lob down the line from the deuce side where you lob that player in the ad court, and then the deuce court player has to cover it. You may want to just hit down the line more and go for that down the line winner a little bit more often when you have it. Maybe you want to approach the net to add a little bit of pressure to the baseliner. There's a lot of different options, but regardless, what you want to be doing is looking for their comfort zone and then figure out how can you get them in a position where they are less comfortable. And the best place to start with that is simply, are they more comfortable in the deuce or ad court, and are they more comfortable on the baseline or at the net? Another thing you can look for, this will kind of depend on your experience level, but you can look at their technique. So some players I'll see, they have a really super Western forehand grip where they have trouble getting under the ball. So in that case, you might want to hit them a low slice. And again, this is something that you'll start with, and if they make an adjustment and beat you on it several times in a row, then you need to make a counter move, right? So in general, when I see a super Western forehand grip, a low slice often works, but some players don't have an issue with it, so you do have to make some adjustments there. But look for technical issues. Maybe a player has a one-handed backhand, and in general, people at the 4-5 level and below, if they have a one-handed backhand, it's going to be a weakness. So that might be something to serve to. That might be something to attack as much as possible. So look for kind of technique flaws in their game and figure out how you can expose and attack those as well. And then the next thing is think about the matchups. So I talked earlier about their comfort zone. Do they like to be at the net or the baseline? You also want to think about how that matches up against yourself and your partner. So if I'm playing a player who I know is going to out-rally me from the deuce court, and when I'm watching and scouting them, it's like, okay, they've got a bit better forehand than me. I do not want to sit back at the baseline and rally with them. I'm going to tell my partner that, and I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to serve and volley to this guy because he's going to be able to out-rally me from the deuce court. So look for that as well. Consider each of your cross-court matchups. If it's a winning matchup for you, you can stay in that. The net player doesn't quite have to be super aggressive. But if it's a bad matchup for you, talk with your partner, figure out ways around it. Maybe the net player has to poach a little bit earlier. Maybe you have to go down the line earlier. Maybe you have to hit a lob or serve and volley and come to the net. So think about those cross-court matchups and if you're able to win those rallies. A couple other scenarios that may happen that I do like to generally game plan for. When the opponents are both up at the net, which player are we going to attack? So is there a weaker player on the other side of the court? And this kind of applies to the net and the baseline, but I like to do it particularly if they're both up at the net or if they're both at the baseline. Which player are we going to attack? And typically you're going to attack the weaker player's backhand volley. So on any neutral ball, we're going to try to go either middle, a little bit left of the middle to the player's backhand volley, assuming they're both right-handed, or to the weaker player's backhand volley. And then if you get a short ball, sometimes you can go for the all-out winner or simply just roll one down at the feet of the weaker player's backhand volley. If they're both back, who are you going to hit to? Who's the weaker baseline player? And then also, if the opponent serves and volleys, how do you want to counter that? How do you want to return against that? So if you're comfortable hitting a low, solid cross-court return, go with that and see if they can beat you on the serve and volley. If you're comfortable lobbing down the line, you can try that. There's a lot of different options, but regardless, the point is you want to come up with a game plan if they do like to serve and volley. And then the last thing is, once you actually get out onto the court and start to warm up, you can kind of look for some tendencies. And one of my favorites that Peter Lebedev's, who I had on the podcast before, he's the director of the Dallas Open ATP tournament here in the DFW area. He mentioned that when you're warming up serves, you can watch the opponent and hit a couple body serves at them and see which way they turn to try to stop the ball or to try to return the ball. And then you'll know they're more comfortable turning that direction and they're more comfortable with that return. So then you can use that to your advantage and kind of hit a body serve to the other side to kind of force them into a difficult body serve or serve out wide or down the tee accordingly. So you can look for that. Look for other things in the warm-up, like, you know, is their forehand or backhand ground stroke better? Do they prefer, how close to the net are they volleying during the warm-up, things like that. So hopefully this helped. If you have any questions, definitely reach out to me. But this is a good topic. Thanks, Matt, for bringing this up. And it's a thing a lot of people, I feel like, don't do, but this is how I think about it. So hopefully this helped. And again, definitely check out the webinar that we have upcoming. I'm really excited for it and hope that you can attend. And yeah, that's it. So I will talk to you all in the next episode. Thanks for listening. If you're a doubles player, you'll love our weekly doubles newsletter. Every Thursday, we send you doubles tips and strategies to help you improve your game and become a smarter player. When you sign up, you'll get a free 10-page guide on how to play with more confidence and dominate at the net in doubles. You can go to thetennistribe.com to sign up now.